the regular pulse of its tides has forever fascinated our human race. I know from personal experience, after living for 12 years on the sea at Coos Bay, spending hours and hours walking the dunes as I prayed the Psalms in rhythm to the surf. Perhaps that heartbeat, the heartbeat of the sea, strikes an echo in our own hearts. We know that science tells us the chemistry of our bloodstream mirrors exactly the balance of salt and minerals found in the ocean tides. It means that somewhere deep down in that mysterious water, deep under that sunlit surface, the very first stirrings of life in our planet, eons and eons ago, began beneath the creating hand of God. And today, to walk a beach is to walk on the edge of our own personal mystery, and to contemplate with a sense of wonder the source of all life and our life. In the little seaside town of Castobel a few years ago, a man rose at dawn to take just that kind of a walk along the ocean's edge. And to his surprise, this naturalist biologist, Lauren Isley, found that the beach, even at that early hour, already was crowded with the beachcombers. The villagers were all busily searching for starfish, beached during the night. And they killed the little helpless creatures and sold them for profit. And then morning after morning, Lauren Isley would watch the slaughter, contemplating the little animals, utter total helplessness before human strength. But one morning, Lauren Isley came to the beach earlier than usual, and he found just one hunter combing the beach for stranded starfish. But that stranger was different. Each time that he found one of the little helpless creatures, he lifted it up high with all his strength with his arm, and he flung the starfish back into the mothering sea. And Lauren Isley discovered that this stranger walked the beach daily, every day before dawn, and he pondered the paradox that he beheld. Here was a complete reversal of everything that he, as a trained biologist naturalist, had ever learned about the survival of the fittest. Here was a strong man reaching down tenderly to ensure the survival of the very weakest and the helpless. That's what we do during this holy season. We walk, each of us, on the edge of our own personal mystery. Today's worship draws us to the seashore, to the edge of the water from which our inner Christian life emerged, the saving waters of baptism. And here on that beach, we also discover a lone figure who stoops down gently from infinite strength to save us who are so weak and so helpless. Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. We know that the sea is no longer our home. The salty tides still course in our veins, but our lungs we know would burst beneath the surface. We can walk a few timid steps into the surf, or cross the ocean in a ship, or go out from the beach a little ways and scuba diving. But the watery environment always remains essentially hostile. If ever we are unprotected from the ocean's might, we can only sink to certain death. Our land environment is no less hostile. The land offers us only the illusion of security. Our whole world is crowded with beachcombers. Beachcombers who use and manipulate people, who seek profit at other people's expense, who use the lives of other creatures. And all the ravages of human conflict, the helpless hunger of all those victims of human injustice, our terrible willingness to give in to our selfish needs before we think of the needs of other people. All of that scars our world. We would have no reason to expect anything except certain death, except that there is a lone figure before dawn who walks our shores, who stands on the border between life and death and throws us back into the sea. That is the mission of Jesus. Endless daily mercy. The same mission as the beachcomber. With all the strength of his arms, Jesus flings us back into the waters from which our life emerged. And we sink deep, immersed into the healing waters of the baptismal pool. Immersed, paradoxically, not to death, but to life. We are cast into the waters to drown. We do drown. And sin is sloughed off. But we are lifted up again, filled with a new life. And the one who lifts us up to safety is not like the lone beachcomber of Castelbell, who was able to walk freely along the shore. The man who gives us safety is a dying man, nailed to a dry and barren piece of wood, high on a lonely hill. Like the rest of the race, Jesus embraced us as his own people. A friendship covenant. He grew with us and like us to maturity here on dry land. And here he found on dry land only the certain possibility of death. And here with us, he immerses himself in the dryness, the aridity of our own human existence. He became like us. In his own flesh, he knew our desert of our own personal loneliness, of our constant temptation to break out of isolation by seizing power over creation, seizing power over one another. Jesus stood as helpless as you and I before human temptation, and yet without surrendering to its terrible power, he let it lift him to the height of the cross. He spent a long time watching us from that lonely wooden tower. Songwriter Leonard Cohen writes about Jesus. And when he knew for certain that only drowning men could see him, Jesus said, "Then all men shall be sailors. All people shall become sailors until the sea shall free them." That song echoes today's gospel. Know how helpless we are. Understand how weak we are. Jesus says, "But I am here to save you. Reform your lives, open your hearts. Believe the healing good news." That is the heart of Lent. But Leonard Cohen goes on with that song written 15 years ago. And now you want to travel with him, and you want to travel blind. And you think maybe you'll trust him. With trust, we do fix our eyes upon that figure who takes his place on the border between life and death, between the desert and the sea. He hangs high and helpless, nailed to the dry wood of the cross. He is God's only Son, infinite strength, that is bent low to rescue the weak and the helpless. There on a tower, on a beacon, a lighthouse, there at the shore, waits for us. He always waits for us at the dividing line between life and death. And even now he prepares a meal here for us that celebrates his victory and our victory over death. A meal that seals the kind of life that began for us in saving water, in the sheltering shadow of his cross. That lonely beacon always guides us to safety and to new life.